Jude. I don't have to give you a chapter number because there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Jude. Okay? There's a few other books in between there. Go to the very end of your Bible, take a left, go back one, and you'll get there. I know we're starting a little bit later tonight with everything that we've had, and so it won't be as long. I'll talk faster if you'll listen fast, and we won't be here as long. Amen. Thank you. That was encouraging, Raul. I'm blessed. We've been in the book of Philippians. We're taking a few weeks off with the building coming and talk a little bit about church and the building over the next couple weeks. And then we'll get back to the book of Philippians and our journey towards joy. Jude verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ, Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse 20, the same book, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, do pray you bless our service tonight. Be with us for these few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to talk just a little bit tonight about our church. We are a part of church, of our church, and as we are a part of our church and active in our church, we must understand who we are, what type of church we are, what's important to us, our values, our goals, our vision. Very, very important for us to know that. That is not the same for every church. We talked a little last week about, we talked about God's blessings and so forth and working together and the blessings of working together in a church for the Lord. Many today want to change the church. The church was God's idea. God came up with it. It was God's way. It was God's place for people to meet, to be encouraged together, and to fulfill his will. So if it's God's plan, if it's God's idea, we must do it his way. And we must do it to fulfill his will. People are changing that. That's one of our flaws as men. We think we know better what to do than even God sometimes. And when we really need to do is just go back to what God said and follow what God said, and things will be better for us. Fact of the matter is, we have no right to change anything about church or what God wants the church to do if it's not specifically named and mentioned in the Bible. If you want to change the carpet in your church, go right ahead. That's not a big deal. Say, what color is the carpet in our church? Whatever the color that isn't horrible looking, that was a good deal. That's the color of the church. And we have a scheme and a plan, but we're not going to fight over it. We're going to do what's best, okay? But that's a non-essential. But what we do in the church, what we believe in the church, and what is going on in the church, that's a big deal. And God has talked about that specifically, and so we're going to keep that the same. In the New Testament epistles, which were written mostly to churches or leaders of churches, we see the main problems that had to be dealt with. By the way, the kind of problems we face today are not much different than the problems they faced in the early church. That's why the epistles had to deal with it. They wrote letters to the church. They strengthened them. They encouraged them. But if you read through them, you're going to see a theme. Dealing with problems and things that were starting to come into the church. There was a changing of doctrine. Okay? What is doctrine? Doctrine is the biblical teaching for the church, which is true. So if they change it, something that was once true is now what? False. If you add a little air to it, it is now not completely true. There was a change in the way that they would live. God has a specific way that he would like us to live. He gives us the pattern we're to follow in the Bible. And by the way, following that pattern gives us fulfillment. It gives us joy. And it gives us the fulfilled and the fulfillment and purpose in life that God wants us to have. But when we believe wrong, naturally, the next step is we are going to live wrong. That's just how it works. And then he talked about the leaders that were coming in. There were people that had false truth that were slipping into the church and trying to change what they believe. As we get to our text tonight in the book of Jude, we see that the first couple of verses, Jude's talking about, hey, to you that are sanctified, God bless you, have a great day. And then all of a sudden, it changes quickly. See, Jude was going to write to them about the blessings of being saved. But then he stopped and said he couldn't do that. There was something else that he needed to deal with. Something destructive was going on. And he said, I wanted to write to you about the common salvation, but I couldn't because there were some things that he was concerned about. And he said, I need to deal with these things, and I want to mention these things to you. See, whenever there's blessing, you have to realize, since we're in a spiritual battle, there is something that's going to try to come along and steal that blessing or change that which gives us the blessing. And you say, well, that is what you talk about because it's in the Bible, the whole New Testament, all the epistles deal with that. It's not changed. Realize that a false way of thinking always leads to a wrong way of living, which leads to a loss of God's blessing. Why is that a big deal to us tonight? Because our church and its future depends on us continuing to believe and behave the way we always have. It's very important. What I'm saying is our church isn't going to change. Now, we're going to change. We're going to change the building. We're going to that new building. We've changed over the years. Back in the days when we started the church, fact of the matter, I think when we first started church, we didn't even have a computer in the office. And then we were really high tech, Brother Ross. We bought ourselves a Macintosh. It had a 20 megabyte hard drive. Okay? That's like, you can't even do anything with that. And that was big, but they're small. But we're not going to change what our church believes. We're not going to change what our church does in relation to that which is right and wrong. We talked a little bit last week about the blessing of our church over the years. There's much good going on. And by the way, as I see it from the top here, I don't want anything to come into the church that is going to hurt the members of the church. I don't want to see anything creep into the church that's going to hurt your children that are here Monday through Friday in our Christian school. I don't want to see that. By the way, let me say this, and we haven't talked about it much. As things get worse and worse in the world, our school is more and more important. I remember many years ago, Brother Pineda, he must have stepped out, probably had to go to the bathroom or something. But when he was a teenager living at our house, him and I, and I think Stephen maybe was 4 or 5, we were going somewhere and we stopped for lunch. I think it was a Del Taco or something. And we were sitting there and we sit next to an older gentleman many years ago. This is probably 15, 20 years ago. We're sitting next to an older gentleman. He goes, hey, what are you guys doing? I said, we're running an errand, you know. And he's like, hey, school was starting. He goes, school starting? And, you know, George, I think, was a teenager. Stephen was just kindergarten. Said, yeah, well, what school you go to? And I told him, they're going to go to Pacific Baptist School. And it's a private school. And this older gentleman, I don't even know if he was a Christian. He said, he must have been 70s, Like, he said, if I had, and by this was 20 years ago, he said, if I had children today, he goes, I would work two jobs if I had to send them to a private school. Wow. There's a lot of bad going on. We need to have the right beliefs and we need to walk guard around it. Very important. I want God to continue to be able to bless our families in our church. Who we are now is who we will be in the future. Yeah, it might be a different building. Might be a few different things, maybe hopefully some newer buses in the future. I don't know what it is, but we're going to be the same as we've always been. I want you to see as we look at Jude a few reasons why. First of all, in Jude, the first verses we read, he gives us a warning that he wants us to heed. See, Jude is going to warn us about several problems that are here. First of all, he talks about the common salvation in verse 3. He said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. See, James had to protect that. By the way, when he says common salvation, what he's saying is there's only one. There are not many roads to heaven. There's only one. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way, one, the truth, one, the life. There's only one. There's a common salvation. There is only, according to the Bible and the Word of God, there's only one way to heaven. And whenever we try to change it a little bit, we try to add something to it, it is no longer the common salvation. So Jude was fighting that. He wanted to make sure that that did not get changed. We don't believe in this. Well, all roads lead to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. There's only one road. That is Jesus Christ. And so we're going to walk guard around that. We're going to make sure that that never changes. We're not going to walk around lightly when we, in our church, you know, people come like, well, let's not say anything about salvation. You know, someone might get upset. Well, isn't that why we came to church to hear the truth? Isn't that why we came to church to hear the way of salvation, the way of the scripture, the way of the word of life? We're not going to walk around that. There's a common salvation. We need to be careful. By the way, everybody says they're a Christian. But not everybody has a fruits to back it up. And I'm not saying we're going to go out and inspect everything, but I'm just saying we're going to stay straight on that. Salvation is vital, and there's only one way. And I think we already understand that. But he also talked about contending for the faith. He said, I was diligent to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me. He said, I wanted to write of you about this, but I had to write unto you. It was needful and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. It's not just the common salvation. We also need to be concerned and contend for the faith. The faith and the common salvation are two different things. Now, the common salvation is contained within the faith. The faith are the set of doctrinal core beliefs that the Bible gives us. Inside of that is common salvation, but there are other beliefs. And you know what he's saying? Jude is saying, you better fight for that which is right. That's what the word contend means. It means fight. It doesn't mean go out there and spiritually jump somebody, but it means standing up and saying, listen, this is what the Bible says, this is what is right, and you're not going to push me off of that. I'm not going to change. We need to contend for the faith. He also mentions we need to be careful about certain men. He says, contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints, verse 4, for there are certain men. That's the reason we have to contend for the faith. Why? There are people out there that are trying to change the beliefs of the Bible. Trying to get us to change. By the way, we're to stand up for it. We need to be very, very careful. Oh, but this person, you know, they said it in such a way. Does it match up with Scripture? Be very careful. Particularly now in the age in which we live, with social media and all the different things out there and the internet and everything, it's so easy to hear everything everybody has to say. But I want to give you this admonishment. Let's always make sure we're listening to what he has to say. Listen, it's not, can you be a spiritual lawyer? Can I argue? By the way, sometimes lawyers defend people that are guilty. We see it also as almost, it's amazing in our society, sometimes law cases, they almost seem as if there's some kind of like football game. Oh, that lawyer made a really good move here. And a guy that was guilty got off. I would not make a good lawyer. I'm for truth. If I was defending Brother Pichardo in a case and I found out that he was guilty, I would probably be disbarred. Why? I couldn't defend him. And I don't understand the whole legal system there, but I don't think you can do that. Okay? And I do it the other way too. If I was trying to put somebody in jail and I found out they were innocent, I wouldn't do that. I want the truth. Okay? And listen, so we're not a spiritual lawyer. We've got to test everything against what God says. But there are certain men that come in. They're diluting the truth. We're trying to get others to follow something that is not necessarily the faith. Be careful just because they're persuasive that we don't follow people. If you watch any of these shows, and I don't watch them, but you know, all these daytime shows where it's all talk shows and they get up there and they say things that sound good. Listen, is it scriptural? I don't care if they're persuasive. I don't care what it sounds like. We've got to stick with the Bible. Listen, look at how Jude talks about these guys. He says they're creeps. He says, for there are certain men crept in. You know what crept in means? They come in slowly. Just slowly. It's a slow process. They have the look and the lingo of Christianity without the power or the truth behind it. Where we're at in this country is, Christianity in my contention in this country is really at an all-time low. That's why I think our country is at an all-time low. Things that many years ago we would have seen as being against God in the Bible. Listen, a man using a man's bathroom and a girl using a girl's bathroom, that's just common sense. That's not controversial. It's not controversial. It's God made them man, male and female. Okay? And by the way, all these hypocrites getting up saying, oh, blah, blah, you go stick your daughter in there and let some guy walk in. I'd be standing at the door of a club. I wouldn't do very well. And they're hypocrites, by the way. Who was it? PayPal. Well, we're not gonna build our building in North Carolina because you said that. But they have buildings in China, Pastor Pichardo. By the way, in China, where a pastor's wife was just killed this week by the government. Where one of the missionaries we know, their church came in their church and sent everybody home. By the way, they say they're for inclusive. In those countries where they put, if someone's a homosexual, they're put to death. But they won't go to North Carolina because they say a man should use man's bath. They're hypocritical. Okay, I don't know where that wasn't even in the notes. I don't know where that came from. But that's your fault. You looked at me and I just moved. But I'm just saying, there's a slow shift. Okay? And I understand that if someone doesn't know the Lord, I understand shift is going to come. But what I'm concerned about is Christians are shifting. See, we're looking out there saying, well, you know, we don't want people to think we're weird. And they shouldn't think we're weird because we act weird. But if they don't understand our beliefs, maybe that's going to happen. But you know what? How can we help somebody if we move off of those beliefs? It's a slow shift away from that which is right. And someone has kind of, it says unawares. It's like we don't understand it until it's too late. So there's certain men and they crept in. The Bible says this, they're condemned. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. It's very, very sad. When people slide off of this thing because they're following somebody else. Someone sent me an article. If you don't understand this and it's over your head, give me 2 minutes and we'll be fine. Somebody sent me an article from someone who's supposed to be our type of Christianity, and they're talking about they have something new and we're old. That type of thing boiled my blood. They got up. One of the things was, we have a passion for Jesus. I'm like, wow, I wish we had that. You learned that all on your own? Come on, we all have a passion. But as I read some of the comments after this article, some of them very good, by the way, there was one guy there I knew who was a missionary. He's leaving the mission field. He's leaving his church. He's leaving this. Very sad little thing he put. Someone that, by the way, many years ago preached behind this pulpit. See, someone got into him, and he's like, well, you know, and he's very confused right now. I feel bad for him. But you know what? That was a slow process. We need to be very, very careful. He also says this about them. They're carnal. They're ungodly men. Let me just say this. None of us here are perfect. None of the staff members are perfect. But can I say that? Who said what? It's like, duh. Okay. So I'm perfect. Just talk to our wives. They'll explain it to you. But let me say this. Our life ought to be striving to match up with what we believe. You see, we all want to be cool nowadays. I'm cool, pastor. Hey, how you doing? You know. Someone sent me a website about something, and I looked on their website, and the pastor said he likes to, I think I wrote that. He likes to take it easy and sit with a coffee. I'm in. The only thing better than one cup of coffee is what? Two cups of coffee. Amen. You got two hands. That's what it's for. He goes, here's the pastor's hobby. I like to take it easy and sit with a coffee and beer in my hand. Yeah, that's cool. It's not Christian. He defended calling Christians a cuss word. He had a little blog there, and he said, you Christians and he cussed. Something I haven't heard since my wife got mad. I'm kidding. And then he's going to sit there and defend it. Pat, how would you like it if I got up and just cussed? No, I won't do that. But I'm just saying, what we're trying to do now is take some things that are ungodly, and we're trying to bring them into Christianity to make Christianity hip. To reach the, here we go, millennials. You can't reach the millennials. Yeah, you can reach the millennials. I know you live in a different world. I mean, not in a different world. You grew up in a different time than I grew up. I understand. You know what social media was in our day, Brother Pichardo? Talking to each other. You know what Facebook was? You put your face in a book. That was Facebook. We didn't have all this. Social media was picking up a landline phone. Okay? Rotary dial. Okay? That was our social media. I know you live in a different world. And by the way, I know you live in a world that has a lot more temptations than our world lives. But it doesn't mean we're supposed to lower what we believe to accommodate that. We need to be careful. We want you to make, and by the way, I'm not one of these guys, you know, computers are of the devil. Man, I got a laptop. I got a cell phone. I got an iPad. And I even have a smartwatch. My son bought it for me. And you know what it does? It's amazing. It tells time. Yep. Okay. I looked at that bad boy and it says 11 after 6. Okay. Oh, wait. 68 degrees outside. I'm not a fuddy-duddy. I like technology. But I'm just saying, we're not supposed to lower what the Bible says because I want to be cool. And I am cool when I stand in air conditioning. Okay. That's about it. We're supposed to be Christian, not carnal. We're not gonna look. That wouldn't help our church. It may draw a crowd, but is it gonna really get us to where God wants us to be? Carnal. They change. This is scary. The same verse. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You say what? In other words, they're taking God's grace. And they're turning it or using it as an excuse for lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? It's a really long word that most of us could not spell. Okay? But what does it mean? Here's what it means. Unbridled lust. Unprincipled in immoral matters. Disregarding accepted rules. Now that sounds like just how I was before I was a Christian. But the sad thing and the scary thing is when we want to do that and we want to say it's okay and blame it on God's grace. I'm under grace, brother. Amen. I'm under grace too. And that spurs me to do better, not worse. We don't use God's word as an excuse to live a certain way. And then it says they cancel. It says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is sad. Over the years, Christianity has changed to where we thought, well, if we hold to some of the standards of Christianity, we can scare people away. So what we'll do is we'll just preach Jesus and we'll preach love and do whatever you want. You can just live the way you want, just love Jesus. Now what we have done is we said, now what else? You know what? The beliefs of the Bible, the doctrines of the Bible are keeping away people from Jesus. So let's put those up for our debate. Well, what else do we have? We have to believe the core doctrines of the Bible or we have nothing. We're not going to match, we're not going to change those things. So we see that. Number two, there's also a belief to receive. You see, when he's talking about the faith, that is what we believe. That is the core doctrines of the Bible, which we assimilate into our life, and we base how we live off of those principles. Some people would call those standards. Some people would call those our convictions. See, sometimes they get on our type of church saying, well, you have certain beliefs. You're legalist. By the way, never fall for that word. And by the way, if you're listening to someone that uses that word, you're listening to someone who doesn't understand the Bible. And they're probably one of those that you're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. You know what legalism is? It's adding works to salvation. It's saying the way you get saved is not just trust Jesus. You got to trust Jesus. Then you also have to do this. No, it's trusting Jesus only. I can do nothing to go to heaven. Jesus paid it all. But we all have a set of beliefs we live by. Everybody does. Some are just lower than others. Well, you believe the Bible says you shouldn't do this. I don't believe that. Okay, then where do you draw the line? I believe the Bible, and we're not talking about this tonight, talks about areas of modesty in what we show of ourselves to others, particularly for ladies. So we'll say, I don't believe in those modesty. I don't believe in what you believe about your standards of modesty. Okay, then what do you believe? I just believe that's legalism. Okay, so would it be, and I'm not trying to be crass here or offensive, bear with me. So would you think it's okay for a lady to come to church in her undergarments? No, you're a legalist. No, we all have a standard of belief. It's just a matter of where does it go? Right? And that's just one illustration. I'm not getting on modesty tonight. But I'm just saying, and the Bible has that for many, many things. So are we going to stick to the Bible? Oh, yes, I don't believe that thing's the Bible. I just don't believe. Okay, then where's your line drawn? Because we all draw the line somewhere, do we not? Okay? I just choose to say, let's try to draw our line at what the Bible says. That's always a good place to stay. So there's a belief to receive. We all have beliefs. The Bible's pretty black and white. Then there's also a trend to avoid. He said, denying the Lord God and the Lord Jesus. In other words, the trend now is to devalue the faith. Devalue it. Fact of the matter is, a lot of people, and I'm not condemning because I don't think this is true of everybody, but a lot of them are more into having a church growth than Christianity. Let's just get a crowd here. And by the way, I'm for getting a crowd to church because I think we ought to all hear the Bible. That's all. I think we ought to all be together. And by the way, the church is a blessing and all that. And I talk about that on Sunday mornings. But, you know, I'd rather have, you know, 5,000 people at church than five. I want as many people being blessed by the Word of God and being blessed by Christ as we can help. But not at the expense of devaluing the faith. Because if you get people here and devalue the faith, you're giving something that's worthless. And that's not what we want. Several things that are being devalued. We're almost done here. The Bible. The Bible. The Bible's being very devalued. Most churches really, you don't even need to bring a Bible. I'm for the Bible. I'm for, that's actually, you know, the Bible says preach what? The Word. I believe in preaching. I don't. I believe in preaching the Word. Because I can get up here, you want me to get, I could say all kinds of weird stuff. So I thought you do. You know, sometimes I do. Pray for me. I could say all kinds of weird things. But by the way, if I get up and I say something and it's not scriptural, that's not it. Boy, it's got to be founded on scripture, right? That's the rock. But if we devalue the Word of God, then, well, you know, we're just gonna love people. We got to be very, very careful. By the way, it sounds like, yeah, let's not love people. We got to hate them. No, kidding. We have to love people, but it's not unloving to encourage somebody to follow God's word. That actually is loving, okay? And I think we ought to love people. We're going to talk about that one second before we finish. But let's not devalue the word of God. There's, by the way, God has methods in his. Well, let's try this method in the church. No, there's methods. You have to do God's work the way God said to do it. We could think of all kinds of goofy stuff to get people to church, but we're not going to do it. You say, oh, God doesn't care about methods. It's the message. The message is carried in methods. Remember David, Uzzah? Hey, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant back. And David had a party. He didn't follow the word of God. He brought it back with all of his buddies, and the cart was going to fall over. And Uzzah said, I better help God. He grabbed the cart, and God struck him dead. He wasn't doing a bad thing. But God had given very specific methods to bring the cart, and David didn't follow those methods. You know, David got upset at God and said, fine, the cart's not coming home. Then after a while, he saw that God was blessing Obed-Edom. He goes, you know, I'm bringing that thing home. And he brought it home, but you know what he did as soon as he brought it home? He followed exactly what God said, okay? But it's very important. If we don't know the Bible, we don't do that. Another thing that's being devalued is the church. The church. Someone said, some Christian leader, I don't care what label you have as long as you love Jesus. That sounds good, but I'm not labels, but labels usually denote beliefs. By the way, we're a Baptist church. Baptist church doesn't mean that we're the only Christians. But we're Baptist because the Baptists have traditionally stood for certain biblical beliefs that we believe to a T. That's us. And we don't make any apologies for that. Okay? We're not, hey, what church you go to? We go to Pacific. No, we go to Pacific Baptist Church. Okay? I want people to know who we are. I don't want them to be surprised. Like, where do you want us to go? We're just over here. We'll go to this place. It's a church. It's a Baptist church, Pacific Baptist Church. I'm not ashamed of who we are. They're trying to change righteousness. By the way, anybody can come to church anytime, any place. Amen? You ever talk to somebody that doesn't usually go to church? Say, man, I'll talk to somebody. Hey, you got to come to church. Oh, you don't know me. If I came to church, a ceiling would fall in. I say, I know. That's why we're building a new one. It's like, the ceiling's not going to. Listen, you can come. But I hope if someone comes to our church after a while and they're under the influence of the word of God, God changes their life. I hope that I'm different now than I was the first time I ever stepped into a church. How do you know? You didn't know me. Okay? The word of God ought to have some effect on my life, right? Many other things. And then lastly is this. See, this has been a little tough, and I don't mean for it to come across tough. I'm just trying to tell you, this is what we believe. But let's never forget this. And when we have the right beliefs, there's also compassion to share. Those last verses he said, but of some having compassion making a difference. I think sometimes some of our brethren are so caught up in contending for the faith that we don't have any compassion to make a difference. See, by the way, just because our beliefs are black and white doesn't mean that people don't need help. You know, you meet someone on the street, I'm struggling with this area of my life. Well, brother, really? We need love. You know, Jesus can change people's lives. And by the way, the love of God is a big deal. I think we ought to share that with people. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. To me, if we have all the other things right, bless God, we believe the Bible, we're going to stay right on, we're not going to change our beliefs and what God says, but yet we never go out and love anybody, yet we never go out and try to get somebody to church, yet we never go out and share the gospel, we're wrong. We're wrong. We're mean-spirited to everybody. We're wrong. Our goal isn't to go out and argue with people that don't know the Lord. Our goal is to share the love of God so they learn who Jesus is. Yeah, you know what? I'm tired of churches that are backed off of their beliefs saying, you know what? We don't like, because your type of church doesn't love Jesus. If our type of church doesn't love Jesus, it's not because of the type of church we have. It's because we're choosing not to love Jesus. It has nothing to do with that. Let's love people. You know what the world needs? It needs someone that cares. You people at your work don't know the Lord, and they talk sometimes, and you hear them talk to, oh, you know, my old man, he's this, I am so sick of him. You know what they need to change their marriage? They need Jesus. Ah, oh, they ought to do this, and I know they ought to do that, but they need Jesus. Struggling in their family, their children are struggling, and they have no purpose in life. Listen, we ought to say, I have the answer. The answer is not me. The answer is Jesus Christ. Gotta love people. That's who we are. and we're never going to change. We're going to keep doing, we're going to believe right, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to care right, because that's what this world needs. Let's all pray together.